Welcome, everyone, to the Blessed to Christ blessing on this beautiful June day, the 8th. And we hope that life is finding all of you happily blessed already. And those of you who need extra blessing, we or to ask for blessings for another, we have our lines open now, and all you have to do is sign in, press *6 and then 1 as the prompt indicates you to press 1. You'll show up on my message board and I'll take your call. And while we wait for people to show up, I just want to say how blessed I am to be part of this community that is growing and reaching out further into a world that is full of diverse possibilities right now. I've never seen a world progressing more forward and at the same time suffering through so much confusion and misapprehension of what works best. So we have a mixture of opportunities in this world today, and I think it's entirely up to us to become educated and enlightened and to observe patterns of history that have much to offer and teach us, and make the best, most informed decisions we can about our life. And then beyond that, we clear up the issues of our life so that we really do approach life with a clear heart, faith, and a clean conscience. The best way to get that is to forgive yourself and forgive others and to ask for forgiveness. You know, there's a scripture that it's about Yeshua. So often he tells us to forgive others, but this is an instance where someone was asking him about how to pray and how to appropriately be in the temple, and he said, first go and ask forgiveness from your brother, then come back. And I'll tell you how to go into the temple. So there are times when we need to ask forgiveness in order to, and it, well, in fact, let's just ask the question, what does that do for us? It relieves our worry about how big our debt is. You may find that someone is as eager to forgive you as you are to be forgiven because they want to cut the cord also. You know, withholding forgiveness is the way we stay connected to the very things and the very people we don't want in our life, or the old situations that have caused anxiety or agony for us. And by withholding forgiveness, we stay attached to them. This is how we clean our life. I was thinking about, I really don't want to move into the message right now. I feel there's somebody out there that wants to sign in, and if you do, early in the call is the best time to do it because lots of people are still signing on. I would say most people do not arrive to this call until about 15 minutes after the hour. So now really is the best time to be a caller, to ask for blessings or to let us know how you're doing, or just let us know what we can do for your life. So I'll be watching the message board, and I guess I'll just get started with what I was going to say before the call. I was out weeding my garden, and I was pulling these little weeds out and wondering if I was doing harm to life. You know, everything wants to live, everything wants to survive, and I was asking forgiveness of these little weeds that I had to uproot them. And it just occurred to me that everything has a place in this world. But not everything belongs in every place. And what I was doing was just helping nature become reorganized for a greater purpose and for greater production and greater harmony and appropriateness. And I'm going to continue that thought in a minute, but I'm going to take a call first. It's from area code 804, and you're on. Hi.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am fine. How are you?
Doing great.
Wonderful. First, I would like to give honor to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and hope that everyone is blessed. And I was just wondering about blessing Joshua. How do you pronounce his name?
Yeshua.
And how did he go about blessing us through the calls and stuff? You know, because you give us quiet time, as I guess you were asking him for a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Is he blessing us in all areas of our lives or any particular area? Are we to ask Joshua what our concerns are, like health concerns? And is any way that we can help better health or better love in our lives?
Yes, all of the above. I don't think I got your name.
I'm sorry, my name is Joyce.
Hi, Joyce, and welcome to Christ's Blessing. And I see you're new, or maybe relatively new, and I'm so glad that new people are coming in because this blessing is from Christ and it's for everybody. And I'm sure there are other new people who have a similar question. As you know, whenever you pray to Christ, oh, and by the way, Yeshua is the name he went by when he walked on the earth. That's his Aramaic name. I love the name Jesus, and that's what I called him during most of the years we had our conversations. I love that name, and so do you and many, many, many others. And it's okay, whatever name you choose. His name has been translated into every language of the earth. Now, Jesus is uniquely his English name, and it didn't exist until the 12th century when the English language began to emerge and they were creating the Wycliffe Bible. So that's when the name Jesus was translated or created or decided upon as to its spelling. The name he walked the earth with was Yeshua. Actually, he was named Yehoshua, and you can find that in the book of Matthew, where it tells what his name was. The reason I prefer Yeshua is because that's the name I connect with when he walked on the earth, when he was with the apostles, and he healed people, and he blessed the poor, and he blessed all of us, and he died on the cross, and he went through the resurrection. I love the power of his true name. So that's why I use it. And I think that it helps to promote our connection with him. Now, anytime you connect with him, he will bless you. He blesses all of us. And you don't need me or this service to receive blessings from him. But the way it is with most of us is we don't feel solid in that connection. We wonder if we're really connecting with him, and we wonder if he'll really answer our prayers. I know you've been there. We all have been.
Oh, absolutely.
And so what he has done is he's taught me and our blessing givers, and many more blessing givers in the future, how to build a stronger connection into the human energy level. You know, everything in this universe is energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our dreams are energy. Our actions are energy. Everything we touch is energy. And this is actually the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the energy of God flowing into us to affect our thoughts and our healing and every part of our being. So the blessing is conveyed energetically from Yeshua, the Holy Spirit and God, into a frequency that is designed to be received by humans as we pray. So whatever you pray for will be harmonized with that energy. It and your prayer and that energy will form a harmony and carry that energy to exactly where it needs to go. And so this is really just a way of amplifying what God will do for you anyway. But so often we don't make the connection. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Now, let me ask you one more thing. I'm going to let you go. I bought some essential oil. Look, I love you. I ordered on Thursday night. I got it Saturday. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
And I bought Attraction Release because I was reading up about you talking about we always want, but we don't recognize the fact that we need to release some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I also bought Attracting Prosperity.
Oh, good.
And look, I am so excited. Look, I have it on now.
Great. Well, actually, I'm so glad you're doing that because, you see, the very nature of essential oil is they're the lifeblood of the plant kingdom. And plants are created by God to attract energy. Energy of the sun and energy from the earth to produce the life that they create on this earth. When we wear the energies that it's like putting an amplifier on your prayer. It's like putting, turning the sound up on your TV. you're turning the volume up when you wear these. And I would highly recommend Christ Scent also for the blessing for those who don't have a particular focus that they want to take. You just want to be more connected to Christ. Try Christ.
I have that. I ordered that first.
Good. Excellent.
I ordered that first, and then I ordered the other two Thursday. And I'm planning on ordering a whole lot more.
Oh, I tell you, these have been created under the direction of Yeshua, and they are all absolutely pure. They're pure essentials, and sometimes I will actually take the leaves and petals of a plant and allow them to seep the oils from like rose petals or lavender leaves. So that not only are they oils, but they're also the hydrosols, which would be the water content of the rose petals and the lavender. So I've been guided to create for you the most living energy you can put on your body. And always combine that with your intentions and your prayers so that you focus upon that which you are needing or wanting for your life. And Attracting Release is a good one for just letting go. And, you know, sometimes it feels so good. Think about everybody. Think about this. How good it feels after you've been for a swim and you step outside and you feel the cool air on your body. And you feel like all the cares of the world have been washed away?
Yes.
Or like you've had a nice warm shower and you step out and towel off and it's like everything is washed away.
Yes.
This is the whole power of baptism. Plus the fact that water attracts energy. Do you know that? Water actually attracts and conveys energy. And this is one other thing I'd like to tell everyone on this. Be hydrated. Drink water before the blessing. Do not be dehydrated because water conducts energy and it conducts it into the cells of your body if you're well hydrated. And then after the blessing is over, continue to drink water because it attracts and conveys the energy. And when you have enough water, your body actually gives off a little bit of steam. And I'm not talking about anything that's uncomfortable, just the lightest aura around your body that will nurture the spirit around your body and convey energy. This has been scientifically proven. As a matter of fact, you can touch a live wire and not be electrocuted if you're not standing in water. If you're standing in water, it could kill you. That's how powerful water is. So, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your thoughts. This was great. You are a live wire.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Look, I'm going to call you, make an appointment, and you and I are going to talk.
Okay. That's a deal.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful blessing. And Desmond, I see you're on the call. Hi.
Hey, Glenda. You were talking about the weeds and the stuff and how you felt kind of guilty pulling the, or you had to forgive yourself for pulling the weeds out of the garden?
Well, only at first, and then I got the bigger picture.
Right. Well, when you were talking about that, I kind of thought, you know, everything in nature, like, even the tiniest insect creates and holds its own space, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything, like, from a weed or a plant, everything holds space. So in terms of conscious design and engineering, maybe, or creating space, I was just wondering how, like, where would what would you say about, like, I mean, I'm thinking of terms of relationships more so, but, I mean, like, you can really create a garden where that wouldn't naturally happen, and it's like a book. Everything is perfectly written, and you're beautiful at putting books together. I'm sure you're really excellent at putting garden together and relationships and everything. So, just, I don't know if that kind of answered a question.
Well, what's your question, Desmond?
Well, how do you design things that are compatible and that create space well together?
Well, okay, that really starts within yourself. If you notice, and we all can notice this, I mean anybody, we have within ourselves contradictory elements. Have you ever looked at that, realized that?
Yeah, I don't notice it right now. I can't.
Of course not, and I don't want your thoughts to go there, but I'm sure in your past you've noticed times when you were actually contradicting yourself.
Right, yeah.
Yep, certain parts of you were at odds with other parts of you, and you wondered, how did this happen? Well, see, what happens is all of these things really belong, but not always at the same time. Like, we can't sleep and be awake at the same time. Or at least it's not safe to drive if you're trying to do it at the same time. You know, we find a right place for everything. And sometimes we can become discoordinated within ourselves. And when we are, we tend to project that into the outer world, and things around us become discoordinated. And we attract things that are discoordinated. I had a real epiphany yesterday when I was having a private communication with Yeshua. I was kind of in a prayer. Well, I went from a prayer to a deep meditation contemplation. And what I was focusing on was the sign of Pisces, or the fish that had been so prominent in the early centuries of Christianity. And often the fish is not one fish but two, and they're tied together at the tail going in opposite directions. I thought, what in the world is this? Why was that a symbol of your work, Yeshua, going in opposite directions? And why would that be the iconic symbol for the sign of Pisces, which is actually about a holistic fulfillment and unity and universality? And all of a sudden, it hit me like a ton of bricks that just bounced me up to the stars when I realized that after the progression through all of the levels of wisdom and knowledge, we reach the level of enlightenment and unity and coordination. What we have to do always is to look for the bigger picture. We cannot burrow into the little tiny picture. We have to always look for the bigger picture. This would be symbolic of the life of Christ, where the whole of his life was focused upon the big picture, leading us back to God, leading to the Holy Spirit, leading back to heaven and heaven on earth. In other words, our cosmic connection, our true origin, where we come from. And that's what he was always focused on. Now, the penalty, and there's a penalty when you don't, when you start on the road to enlightenment and you don't follow it, you fall into burrowing into little problems in life that always contain conflict. Always one thing opposes another. That's where the fish go in separate directions. So the two fish in the sign of Pisces and in early Christianity were a reminder not to make too much of the small things in life, because that's where the conflicts occur. That's where opposition occurs. I'll give you a real good example. Now, we tend to think of night and day as being opposites, right? Dark and light as being opposites, right? Okay. Well, if you took a satellite ride out of this atmosphere, let's say you took a trip to the moon and looked back on the planet, you would see there's no such thing as night and day. It's just the planet rotating on its axis, making a rotational turn in relation to the light of the sun. These are just phases of sunlight. There really is no darkness, even at the darkest point of the earth. There's no darkness. It's just phases of the sun shining upon the earth. In other words, from a larger perspective, all the opposites disappear. Opposites and a sense of opposition, and in the psychological sense, even conditions like paranoia, occur when we make too much out of the small stuff, and then we become afraid. We become afraid of everything that seems to stop us. So for all of you, whenever anything seems to stop you or oppose you or be your adversary or to pull you down or tempt you or distract you, look, ask yourself, have I gotten too burrowed into this thing? Am I missing the big picture? That's how you can pull yourself out of it without having to oppose something. And here's the thing. The more we oppose something, the more it pulls us into it. When Yeshua was tempted, he just said, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't even bother opposing him. He just said, "Get out of here. Go away." And he put his attention on the big picture. The big picture of what he came here to do. The big picture of what would be accomplished, and so on. And so, really, in that sense, I can't say that polarity is an illusion, because when you burrow in something that opposes you, it's very real. I mean, when somebody's hitting you with a hammer, that hurts, and it is very real. But all we have to do is constrain the opposition long enough that we can step back from it. And then we find out what is going on here. And we restrain that until we can step back a little further and a little further. And that's what Yeshua did. Instead of opposing the armies that were coming to arrest him, he prayed. He went to the big picture. That's how he handled everything. And it's easier to forgive, and it's easier to release what we need to release, including it's easier to ask for forgiveness when we're standing in the middle of the big picture. And that's the answer to the fish's tide going in opposite directions. We only get that if we're focused upon the chain that ties them. That's the only time we see opposition in the big ocean of life. If we don't focus upon the chain that ties the tail of the fish together, we just float in the grand ocean of God's creation. We see infinite possibilities, and we rise up to the light. And it's really pretty simple. That was, for me, a huge revelation. It's not that it was altogether new, but I saw it in a new light. Sometimes things we have known for years and years, maybe all of our life, somehow come clear when we see them against a different background or in a new light or with a new function that helps us to say, I don't know why I didn't get that before, but it's so easy to see. And it was the same kind. Having had that realization yesterday helped me when I was pulling weeds, and I thought, there's no reason to be hesitant or feel guilty about pulling these weeds. There's more weeds in the world than our Mother Earth can deal with. She just sows the seeds and lets them grow wherever they will, and it's kind of up to the other forces of life to determine where they belong. And I'm determining where these don't belong, and that's okay, and I love my flowers, and you grow in the back field, okay? I'll leave you alone back there. You can grow with the wildflowers. So I just got on with things and really didn't put any effort on it. But you know what? There's a lesson to be learned about that, and that is we have a right in this life to discern. To discern what works for us, what supports us, and what will ultimately create a better life for us. And the one last part of that message I want to give you before we move into our blessing, and it's very relevant to receiving blessings, whether they're blessings from God or blessings from your paycheck. You know what we do so often? Is we will starve ourselves in order to starve the weeds out. If there's something in our life that's not working, and we don't have the courage or the discernment to remove it, and it's hurting us, we'll just starve ourselves and everything else out. In other words, we starve the plants in order to starve the weeds. And this next week, I want each one of you to locate a time in your life when you've done that. Because at some time in our life, we have done that. It's called hurting ourselves in order to hurt something else. We feel guilty about removing a weed or removing something that doesn't work. Here's an example. Let's say it's a career we moved into because our parents wanted us to go into that career. We invested our early life in a college education. We paid off student loans. We started out our young years in it. We've got lots of memories. We had lots of hopes. And that career just didn't work for us. And we keep trying over and over again to make it work. And it never produces enough to make us happy, to pay the bills, to support our families, and yet we keep working on it, and we keep working on it, and we just don't want to pull that weed out of our garden. You see, anything that's not producing life has to be cut away and removed. And this is not always something that's directly causing you harm. It's not always a weed like a grass burr. I still haven't figured out God's plan for two creatures. One is grass burrs and the other is mosquitoes. I think that when I understand God's plan for those two things, I will have reached enlightenment. I'm working on it, but I think that's my ultimate challenge. But in the meantime, I'm looking at the fact that something doesn't have to be a mosquito or a grass burr to need removing. Sometimes things just don't work, and we need to remove them, and we can remove them with blessing. Sometimes, you know, I had something kind of like that. It was something that I did with my old career. It was art history. I had received a powerful fellowship, and I felt obligated to make what people invested in me be worth their investment. And yet I found out I wasn't very good at it. I had a lot of knowledge, but I wasn't doing anything important with it. I was teaching. I taught at two universities, but I wasn't making any progress up the ladder. I loved teaching, but I didn't love teaching academic subjects. I didn't like giving people memorization tests and true or false tests. And I didn't like anything about it, but I wouldn't let go of it. Now, you know what I had to do is I didn't do this personally, but I wrote a letter, and psychologically, I wrote a letter to God and the Holy Spirit and everybody, and I asked their forgiveness that I wasted their time and their money going into a career that I couldn't stay with. And after I was really clear on that, I went back to painting, and my painting began to flourish. And I realized that's the talent God had truly given me. So sometimes it's important to ask forgiveness, and it helps us let go. Now, how this pertains to blessings is we don't receive the full blessings of life if we're trying to get rid of something. Because we don't want the things that we need to get rid of to also be blessed. And we actually get torn within ourselves on this. So I want you to start letting go of things that don't work and open up your full self, everything about you, to receive the blessings of God, the blessings of the earth, the blessings of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Yeshua. Okay? And so that's really basically my message today. And I'm so sorry I couldn't take the last call, but I will say hi to you, and you're on. Hi.
Hi, Glenda. It's Heidi. Again, you answered my questions. I was going to say if you have trouble forgiving, if what Yeshua would say, but I think you answered it. I'm going to re-listen and pause and meditate on everything you said. I think the answer is already given. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad, Heidi. And actually, sometimes asking forgiveness or giving forgiveness are part of two sides of the same coin. You know, there's two sides to everything. There's two sides to every so-called conflict. And the conflict got us captured in a very low level of reality. And sometimes it's that low level of reality that prevents us from getting, giving, or receiving forgiveness. So we just need to get started. Give a little forgiveness, ask a little forgiveness, and then go to a higher level. Then give a little forgiveness, get a little forgiveness, and go to a higher level. And let it progress like that until you get up to where you can look back and see the earth spinning on its axis with there being neither night nor day, but both of them just a sequence of cycles. And it's a lovely progression when you can see it that way, Heidi. But the thing is, the conflicts of life drive us into the rabbit holes. And then inside the rabbit holes, all we can see is opposition, duality, polarity, and conflict. So we got to get out of the rabbit hole. And in order to do that, we've got to give a little, take a little in the area of forgiveness. And then go through that process enough that we really can receive the blessings of God. And the reason this is so important to say to all of you is because you need to keep coming back and receiving more blessings, because the more blessings you receive, the more energy you will have to get and give forgiveness, to climb out of the rabbit hole, to leave the conflicts behind. Okay? And that's the whole idea. So we're going to proceed with the blessing now. It's time. It's actually a little past time. And I ask forgiveness from those who came in late expecting it to be on time. But I think this was a very, very important message from Yeshua. And I don't like to ever cut him short. So let's begin. And I ask that blessing givers join me. And everyone else be seated, just in a comfortable position, your head uncovered, your feet on the ground. Allow energy to move from the top of your head, through your body, into your feet, and back through your heart and through the top of your head. Now you drop your attention from your head into your heart and be in your prayer. You pray for whatever you want. If you need prosperity, pray for it. If you need healing, pray for it. If you need forgiveness, pray for it. If you need the strength to forgive someone else, pray for it. If you need understanding, pray for it. If you feel compassion for others, pray for them. If you want, if your heart goes out to the lonely, pray for them. If your heart goes out to the hungry, pray for them. Pray for whatever is in your heart and fills your heart, because it's through your heart that Yeshua will distribute all of his blessings to you. So be in your heart, be your heart, live in your heart, feel your heart, speak from your heart into your prayer, and know that you will be heard. And the energy you are about to be given is what is really going to be the amplifier of your prayer. So let us begin with my invocation to Yeshua. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, Brother of Man, we thank you so much that you came to this world to bring us the presence, the spirit, and the energy of God in human form, that we may connect with that each in our own way and receive blessings for our life, each of us, uniquely as we need it, as we can distribute it, as we can offer it to others. We thank you for being with us in this moment, for the giving of the blessings of God, for the distributing of your love to the world, for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Be with us now and forevermore as we rest in your grace, in your peace, in your love. Amen. And we shall begin at the end of the blessing. I want you to go rest and just be in the arms of God, resting, not thinking, receiving, assimilating, and enjoying the banquet of love that has been given you. The energy has been given. Now rest, go and rest for at least 7 minutes and allow the rest of the blessing to be given and nourished to your body, heart, and soul. You are very loved, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye.